Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us today. Got a pretty hot topic. I guess it's a hot topic. We posted on one of our platforms, and we got quite a bit of hate talking about this money. People were saying we are ignorant. And look, like I said before, we are very knowledgeable that we need money in this world. That is not what we're talking about. I think they misinterpreted what we were saying. We were saying when money becomes your God, that means you'll do anything to get it. How clear do you have to be? Okay? But yeah, they were saying that you act like you don't need money. We've never said that. I mean, been living off of money, getting some of the things we want in life, using money in the right sense. This is what we're talking about. We will be talking about how America, how the church is sold out because of mammon. Mammon mean money. Even the preachers is compromising the gospel. They care more about the attendance of a big audience than they do about people's soul. Why? Because money is their God. Now, I want you to hear this. When a person, all they talk about is money, money, money. We know we need money. But if that's all you can talk about, then something is wrong. We as pastors and evangelists, our job is to get souls in the kingdom. But you offer them all kinds of material things just to draw them into your congregation. But you don't tell them about repentance. This is where we are, America. The average America, yes, we say this is a Christian nation, but the average person really don't, a lot of them don't even really know who God is. He said, you confess me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That means you put on a good facade, you go around, you feel you don't have need of nothing, because you got your money, you got your bank account, you got your nice home, your nice car. So I have need of nothing. Like the rich young ruler in the Bible when Jesus confronted him. But he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, there is one thing you lack. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a time in your life when you're going to really have to trust God. Your money ain't going to be able to help you. Some people are sick, on their sick bed, spent all their resources. Money is not helping them. There are situations, you may lose your job, that you won't have any income, but you'll have to trust in God. This is what we're talking about. Don't put all your trust in this material stuff. We all will leave here one day. These temples that we're living, you're renting your body right now, because when God says time to go, you're going to go. You saw the Christmas story, Scrooge. I know it was fictional, but it had a lot in that he was one of the richest men in that area, yet he was corrupt, and God looked at him as wretched. You see what I'm saying? So America... In God we trust. You even printed on the money. But what God are you referring to? Because when you look at the average dollar, there's all kinds of occultic symbols, even on your dollar bill. Yes, I spend money. Yes, I use the dollar. But it's just showing you the deceptiveness, how Satan will creep in and say this is a God-fearing nation, but yet you don't want us to talk about God. You don't want us to preach God in our churches unless you be deemed as a heretic or a Looney Tune, because we're not got a big platform and people base a number of people in the church by your status. Now we're right there. If you don't have a big mega church, they say you ain't doing nothing. We're social media driven. They go off of the light and the views. What about the souls? What about them, saints? Look, that's why I base scripture. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Yet, ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's what he told the rich young ruler. He said, you say you love me, but there's one thing you're lacking. I want to go here to this scripture. It's Proverbs 22 to 23. And I'm going to read this. It says, rob not the poor. Okay, let's pause this right there. Robbing the poor. And I'm going to say this. A lot of churches is robbing the poor. Because you're teaching them a fake doctrine that if they bring their money to you, one day they're going to miraculously be rich. And some of you greedy dogs is taking these poor people's money, and you know. Now, yes, I trust in God. Yes, I believe in God. But stop lying to these people. God loves a cheerful giver. Why don't you just say that and stop making these promises? They build in air castles. You telling them, if you tithe to me, my church, you're going to have the Rolls Royce. You're going to have the big house. Stop lying. Because if you was real, you would tell them how you really got your money. A lot of you is by crook and nook. It ain't God. It's your God, which is money. He said, rob not the poor because he is poor. You're taking advantage of them. And you know you are because they're poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gates, for Jehovah will plead their case. Now, this is coming out the new NIV version. But he will, Jehovah will plead their cause and despoil of life. Those that despoil them, do not rob the poor because he is poor. He said it again. Nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. Now you got these fake prayer lines. You give me $1,000 and God gonna heal you. Stop it. I see it so much all on YouTube, these false prophets. If you want a big miracle, you need to sow a big seed. You're taking advantage of them. And he said, do not do that, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. They coming to you for help, but you telling them, if you got something, you need something prayed off of you, you give me a bigger seed. Bigger blessings require bigger seeds. Where is that in the Bible?
There's nowhere in the Bible.
But this is what they're telling people. Bigger blessings, you going, oh, you sow $1,000, you're going to get a big blessing. God say you're taking advantage of the poor. For the Lord will plead their case and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Now, this is from the Lord. You're going to stand in judgment one day. You lying preachers, all you liars that's telling these people, you give me these seeds and you're going to be blessed. Stop it. Stop it. Don't rob the poor just because you can. This is off the Bible. This is way back in Proverbs. And we see it still happening today. He said, don't rob the poor just because you can or exploit the needy in court. For the Lord is their defender. He will ruin anyone who ruins them. Now, this is some strong talk. And you better take heed out there. We see it more so now than we did when we were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We see all everybody want to get a church. And it was a movie one time, and the woman was a prostitute. She ran a whorehouse. And she had two sons. It was kind of like a Cain and Abel thing. One of the guys was good. One of her sons was good. The other was bad, called East of Eden. And she told the boy that was more like her, she asked him what kind of profession was his brother in, and he told her he was seeking the ministry. She said, well, that would be a good gig to get into if I wasn't in this whorehouse. She said, that would be a good gig. So she was looking at it as a prophet, profiting. This was way back, and we see it still today. A lot of people, you ain't called in the ministry. You just see a way you can manipulate and get some money. A lot of you is lazy. You don't want to work. So you want to find a way where you could get a few people giving you tithe, where you don't have to work and your wife don't have to work. Look, I've been working all my life, ready to retire, but I haven't begged nobody for nothing. God has provided for us. God has taken care of our every need. And I'm not out there manipulating and oppressing God's people just to get a house or a car. And you lie, you tell them that these people following God, the apostles, were rich. You liars. You say that so you can justify your own greed. Jesus wasn't about making money for himself. And this is all we hear. You could cut on the TV 24/7. These are supposed to be preachers, and that's all they talk about. I mean, it gets on my nerves. So we're supposed to be telling the world, but the world looking at us is like, do y'all really trust in God? We say, in God we trust. He said, but the way y'all beg, do you really trust him? He said, do not rob the poor just because you can, or exploit the needy in court. For the Lord is their defender. He will ruin anyone who ruins them. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gates, for the Lord will plead their case. Don't walk on the poor just because they're poor. And don't use your position to crush the weak, because God will come to their defense. The life you took, he'll take from you and give back to them. You see what he said? Rob not the poor. Now, this is what he floored them. So God is going to be our defense, because he see what you're doing. He said, for the Lord will rise to plead their case and humiliate the one who humiliates the poor. See, you're treading on some slippery slopes here, because God don't like that. God don't like you robbing from the poor. Then you quote the scripture, Malachi 3:10, will a man rob God? That was to the priest. But you beating the people down, the sheep down, if you don't bring your tithe, you robbing God. No, you telling them to bring their tithes to you. Are you not robbing God? Let's just turn the table. Look. Like I said, when you trust in God, you do not have to oppress the poor. You do not have to beg. You do not have to manipulate the poor. This is what we were talking about. It don't have anything to do with those haters that was on my page talking about we don't need money. Okay, we got a call. Take the call. And it's 2968.
Hello, hello.
Hello, can we help you?
I was just calling in. I don't know. Did I call at the wrong time?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, okay.
We appreciate your call.
Yeah, you talked. I heard you say something about money, you know, and I'm thinking money, there's nothing wrong with money, you know. Money is okay, but it's just right. That money falls into the hands of people who love money rather than their fellow man, you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
So
speak.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, and first of all, I would like to say to you, I appreciate your call. I am so glad that you called in. But what we were basically talking about is one thing I would like to say, that money is really is neutral. Money can be whatever a person who has it makes it to be. It could be evil or it could be good. It's a neutral element. It really is. But what we were talking about, in God we trust, Mammon, money, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, what I'm getting ready to say now, there's some things that's happening in the nation and in the world, far as they are going into a different type of currency. They're trying to go into the digital currency, okay?
We see that.
And that's happening as we speak. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to take the value out of the American dollar and put it into a digital currency, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you're going to have to put your trust in God, because once they have this digital currency, they can make it what they want it to be. They can make it good or bad. I'm here. I'm listening to you now. What were you saying, sir?
Okay, so when when you talk about the Word of God, right? You know,
yeah.
The Bible, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So let me just say this. Don't be tripping or anything. Just listen, okay? I know some people want to pull the trigger and shoot me, like, as if I'm putting bullets in their gun or something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, all right, uh-huh.
Yeah, I ain't trying to give you nothing to shoot me with. I'm trying to give you something to reflect back to me, because it'll let me know you feel me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So when you open the Word of God, you be sitting at the feet of Jesus, because Jesus is the living Word of God. You would know this to be true.
Okay, go ahead. We hear you.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you listen into Yahweh speaking to you spiritually through his word, which is the written word, when you open up, you see the words written there. Well, it's not just the written word. It's the living word to you, because God's saying something. He's letting you in on a conversation that he was having with them in the first century when there was time. You see, when you became aware of God's presence in your life, you stepped into where time is no more, because his love is forever. You understand this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So let me say something then.
Well, go ahead.
So a lot of folk, when they open the Word of God, they automatically think they understand what God is saying. But that's not necessarily true, because God's the one that has to teach you the difference between what's right and wrong. You lived in this world at one time. That was when you lived in the world, and your mind and your heart, there was a void there, and that void is the spiritual darkness. That's where he sits, Christ. So when you became born again of the Spirit, Christ sat there on that spot and illuminated you with himself so you can be one with him, not this other stuff. You understand? So a lot of times we learn stuff in the world without the Spirit, and then when we become aware of the Spirit, we have to unlearn what we learned in the world, and this is what God be doing for us. You know, he'd be teaching us something, the difference between what's right and wrong. Man can't teach what the Holy Spirit does. And if the Holy Spirit teaches somebody, and the Holy Spirit, through that person, through their obedience to what God was saying to them, because faith demands that you listen to he, him, and not what man be thinking about what man says about what God's saying to you. Because Job's friends, remember Job? Well, Job's friends, Eliphaz and Temanite, they was talking about God. They only talked about what they heard about God, but God was talking to Job in the story, because when you get to Job 42, verse 7, the Lord says that his wrath was kindled against Eliphaz, Temanite, his two friends, because they didn't speak the thing that was right about God like servant Job did. So if you see yourself in the Word of God, you're going to see yourself in the story as Job listening to God, and God's going to tell you, who is this that darkens counsel? But God be teaching you, not man. You understand?
Yeah, we hear you. So we're not disagreeing with you. We in agreement. Yeah, with you.
All right.
So we're going to take another call, but we appreciate you calling. Good day. Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What?
Continue.
Amen. So,
I was just finishing up.
All right. We appreciate the call the brother just put in. So we're going to continue on, and he said some good things. And we're going to continue on with our
mm-hmm.
subject. In God we trust, mammon, money, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the thing about this, when you are preaching the word, or when you are going through the word of God, the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost, in which a lot of folks don't even want to say these days, but the Spirit of God will enlighten you and teach you various things according to the word. It will bring out the deep things of the word, whereas you can bring that out and bless a lot of people.
And he'll lead you.
And he will lead you in righteousness. Now, what I like to do is, when I go into the Word, I like to go into the various things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, because he is the Word and he is the authority of the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate. So when he speaks, you're going to have to go with it. Now, a lot of people, what they do, they have a lot of problems with the Bible. They want to say that it's just written by men and all this kind of stuff, and it's full of errors and all this kind of foolishness like this. But the Word of God is the Word of God. It is true. And the only way of salvation is through the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us who to trust in, which is Jesus Christ. He is our authority. Now, I'm going to go into a couple of scriptures here, I'm going to go to Luke 16, starting at the 13th verse. And then we're going to go in Luke 12, starting at the 15th verse. And I like to do these things because we're talking about a real touchy situation when it comes to finances and money. And one thing I want to say is we need money.
We need money.
If we didn't have money, we couldn't pay our bills. We couldn't eat. There's a lot of things we could not do.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for people who have money, wealthy, who have various businesses and manufacturers, and they help people. But that's not what we're talking about. What we are basically talking about is the abuse of this thing, the abuse of something that is really neutral. What I mean by that, the gold and the silver's value is based on what men and banks say is valued at. Okay? Now, we're gonna go straight to the word here. We're gonna go to Luke 12, starting at the 15th verse, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This is what Jesus said. Now he said, beware of covetousness. Now, what is covetousness? It says covetousness is an insatiable desire for worldly gain. Covetousness is an insatiable desire to find fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in things instead of God. The spirit of covetousness leads to and is the mother of many other sins. Now, I want you to think about that a little bit, because after Jesus said this, he spoke on a lot of other things that was connected to covetousness. So I'm not going to just stay on one scripture. I'm going to go on down in what Jesus is saying. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, for neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?
And I want to interject some right there, Bishop. And this is what we're saying. We know, God say he know we have need of these things. I mean, but you see, I think the perspective, sometimes we take it out of perspective. We're not saying we don't need it. We trust God, because there has been times in our life, we've been, what, married 50 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And there were hard times that we had to lean and trust on God, but God made a way. He would give you some knowledge, go over here, do this, and you could say, well, that was just your own intuition. Call it whatever you want. But I'm telling you how we have lived on faith. Look, money, you know, Solomon, he was one of the wisest men. Didn't he say money solves all things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, money is good. But like we said, put it in the right perspective. And I think this is what happens with a lot of people in America. They say, as long as I can make my money, honey, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But God is looking deeper in your spirit. He's saying, there is one thing you're lacking. Yeah, you might be good on the outside. You may have it going on. But where are you with the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Where's your heart with God? Yes, we know the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you can sow gifts to the poor and alms to the poor. But when it all boils down, you got to know, where do I stand with God?
That's right. That's right. Amen, amen, amen. And it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, for which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.
So he's telling you, I know you need this.
Yes, but listen, this is what the Lord said. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted. Now Jesus said all that in Luke 12, and then he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the subject of our lesson on tonight, in God we trust, mammon our money. Now see, the thing about this nation, the thing about the world, and the thing about many people is when they say God, which God? Because some people look at money as their God. You see? Now, if you don't believe this,
they'll do anything for it.
Just go back in history and do some study on some things. Do some study on some things. Do some study in government,
mm-hmm,
and people in positions of high authority. Now, as I said before, I'm not going to say money is evil, but the Lord said the love of money is the root to all evil. Covetousness, wherein lies many other sins, okay? Now, they have it on a dollar bill, in God we trust. But do they really trust God? Or are they talking about another God? Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are talking about the God of money. Mammon. Okay? Now, I'm going to go and I'm going to give you some other scriptures by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to Luke 16. And I like to kind of go and go into detail on some of these things, because you can't just go with one scripture and say that's it. Okay. Luke 16, starting at the 13th verse. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
When you serve something,
yeah,
you become obligated or controlled,
yeah,
by that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Pharisees, who were covetous, heard all these things and derided him.
Hmm.
And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men.
Hmm.
But God knoweth your hearts, For that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. Now, this is Jesus talking. What I have read to you is the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he is the authority on the word of God, and he is the authority on life. Okay? And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So what we are saying, we are pushing God, Christ, salvation, repentance
to the back.
But we, that need to be for in the forefront in reference to everything happening on earth. We cannot trust in money. We cannot trust in mammon because it can be manipulated. They can make it worthless with the stroke of a pen.
Well, you got to go back to 1929, the stock market crash.
Yeah.
A lot of the rich people had their, you know, the money was their God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them dived out of windows and committed suicide because that money was their God.
Yes.
But to someone who said, well, God gave it to me and he'll restore back to me, my life is more important. They felt that when they lost their money, their life wasn't nothing.
That's right.
They had become, and when I looked up the word, you cannot serve. The word serve in the Latin means slave.
Yeah.
You become a slave. You slave, we use the phrase at work, slave drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But if some of you are slaves, you can't even enjoy life. You can't even take a day off for work to enjoy with your family because you're driven by that money.
Mm-hmm.
It's got you. You can't even have a conversation without, this is what we're seeing in the church. You can't even preach a message without talking about these seeds.
That's true.
Everything. Yes, we need money. But let's reprioritize. Let's put God first, and then the money is something just to sustain us in this life.
That's true.
Because like he said earlier, when you die, you can't take none of it with you anyway. But yes, the stock market crash, go back and read about it.
That's right.
Billionaires, yeah. Rich, they got overnight, they became poor and they couldn't take it because of pride. And a lot of them jumped out the windows and killed themselves.
That's true. That's true. That is true. All right. And it says, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Now, Jesus went a different way here. And he said, whosoever puts away his wife and marry another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And then he goes another way. All right? Then he goes this way. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
Did we talk about the poor earlier?
That's right. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, when you were living, when you were able to do some things, receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now Lazarus is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, this is what Jesus said. And he was giving warnings about material gain or money or anything for that matter that would separate you from God. Now, he pressed the point of this money thing, and so here's the thing right here. It's just like the evangelist said. We don't want to get to the point whereas when we got everything natural that we want, everything corner, we got the big house, we got the fine car, we got everything we want, and we say to ourselves, we're good.
Soul has done well. That's what the rich man said.
That's what the man said. Your soul has done
well.
Your soul has done well, but to God, his soul wasn't doing well.
And let me bring this out. The love of money makes a person dissatisfied with what he has. And you can love money and be poor because you'll do anything to get it. Money will make a person sell their body.
Mm-hmm.
Money will make somebody go out and kill another man over a dollar. Money will make gangs fight in the street over drugs. It's the love of money. How do we need to be more? You know, I mean, we're not saying money is wrong, but it's the love of money. You don't have to be a millionaire to love money.
That's true.
Okay, it's the dissatisfaction. What makes a person dissatisfied with what he has? And the dissatisfaction would lead to being envious of what others have, and envy would lead to being covetous. He just talked about covetous. You sitting up, you want what somebody else got. They got a nice house, nice car. You don't see them going to work every day. You just sitting up jealous of what they have. Well, why don't you ask them, is they hiring at the plant?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting up there jealous of somebody? This is envious. This is covetousness. And we see a lot of it in the church. We were coming up when this prosperity garbage came about 40 years ago, and they would tell you, just go to the parking lot, pick out a Bentley, and trust God. And, you know, you're just making barely $10 an hour, but they was telling people to go and pick out that Bentley. See how foolish that is? You stay within your means. That way you won't be so quick to say, you know, you can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you buy a house that you can afford. You count up the cost.
Mm-hmm.
This is all we say. Yes, money is good. Money can serve its purpose. But don't get to the point where you're just so covetousness. All you do is sit up and you wish for more, more, more.
Amen. That's true, too. And see, and those are the things right there that we are speaking on. And I'm saying this right now. And God would not have us to be ignorant of any of the enemy's devices or any of his tactics. He will, when you are, when you have a relationship with God, when the Lord is Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you're filled with the Spirit, he will guide you in things naturally and spiritually. He will also guide you in things of finance. He will. He said God gives the wisdom to get wealth.
But he did. He did it with us.
He did. He will do that. He will do that. And many times it will not be the way of the world. It will not be something that's going to come back and hurt you. It will not be with sorrow. But Jesus, this is what he said. He sums it all up like this. He said, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
But see, when you seek in the kingdom of God, your mindset and your heart is not
boastful.
Not boastful, but it's not caught in finances.
Right. But you notice, and this is what he's saying, you can, I see a lot of people with money, but they're not boastful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not proud. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting proud and start looking down on other people because they don't have what you have, God said you don't do that. You know, your money should be able to help others. If you have it, help them.
Yeah.
Don't look down. Don't puff yourself up. That's what the rich young ruler was doing. I'm good. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I got that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then Lazarus, the poor person, asking for the crumbs off the rich man's table.
He
was puffed up. He was full of pride. And he did not give to that poor man.
That's right.
He said, even if you just give me the crumbs that fall from the dog's table. But he was hard-hearted. He shut up his mouth of compassion, and he would not help. This is what we talk about, the love of money.
Yeah.
You puffed up, you're proud. I don't need nothing. Yes, you do. That goes to show you that you need God. Because if you had God in your heart, you wouldn't be saying that.
That's
right. I'm straight. Are you?
Mm-mm. Let's see. The word of God says, for where your treasure is,
your heart,
there will your heart be also. And what we're talking about, I'm saying this. Regardless of what people might think, we are definitely living in the last days. The Lord could come. Of course, there are some things that need to happen, and it will happen.
Yeah.
If you read the scripture, if you follow what Jesus was saying and all through his word, we're living in the last days. As a matter of fact, when Jesus spoke, when he was walking the earth, he said, when you see all these things happening around you, they say, he's right at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is on his way back. And what we're talking about tonight is, people, search your heart. Search yourself. Don't put your whole mindset in what you have.
It's temporal.
Don't trust in these temporal things. Don't trust in things. Put your trust in God. Well, you say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, look, I'll say it like this here. Some things, it really doesn't matter if you believe it or not, because the truth is the truth. And if you don't believe that truth, that's on you. God is real. Jesus is real.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost of God is real, and we are living in a time well, you're going to find out what your belief really is. Is it the dollar bill? Is it the government? Is it the military?
Well, if they crash the dollar, then you're going to see how valuable, like 1929.
Mm-hmm.
That dollar crashed. I'm telling you, people, there's some deep things that is going on. We're not going to get into it right now, but when they came on with the Bitcoin and all this stuff, and, you know, now they're saying Bob Silver, which, you know, we invest in some of that too. I mean, you're not ignorant, you know. You want your portfolio, but I'm not totally leaning and trusting in that portfolio. You see, yeah, you can buy some silver, you know, or gold, whatever you want to do. That's your money. But what we're saying is don't be totally dependent on this temporal stuff, because when you do, they can pull the bottom out and you won't have anything. You'll be left with nothing. Look at the interest rates on the homes. Now, just a few years ago, it was you could get a house 2.7%. We did. But now look at it. 7%, they're making it harder for people to even own homes. Look at the signs. Then 2 years, the whole government, the whole world was shut down due to COVID. People couldn't even work. They were totally dependent on the government for stimulus. Come on now. Do we not forgive what just happened in 20, 21, and 22? You were shut up in your house for 2 years. You was totally dependent on the government if you didn't have a nest egg. They were sending you stimulus check, and at any point, if they said, you're not getting a check, then what would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do? A lot of people didn't have a lot of money saved up. When this COVID hit, it caught a lot of people off guard.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? But this is how you got to trust in God, because if the government want to, they could shut it down. They could say, you can't buy or sell unless you take this mark. You see, we're getting to it. I mean, we was in Walmart today, and I told my husband, I said, they only have one lane open with a live checker. The rest of the lanes, you had to self-serve and scan your own stuff. Look how that's displacing people out of work.
That's right.
Little by little, look at the signs. People are being displaced by AI, different types. I never dreamed. Now everything is plastic. You barely carry $5 in your pocket.
That's right. That's right.
Average person has a credit card or they got some kind of plastic.
It's true.
We're getting close to that where you won't be able to buy or sell. Little by little, if you watch the signs, they're creeping up on us.
Amen. Amen. And so, well, I'm going to say it like this. We've covered a lot of things tonight, but the question is, who you going to trust in? I'm going to go straight to it, because Romans 8:9-10. This is where we need to be. But what saith is, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People, it's about your soul. People, it's about your salvation. And who you're going to have to believe and trust in is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because there's coming up a time on the earth where you're going to have to trust in the Lord Jesus. And that's it.
Well, you know, and then we had, you know, like I say earlier, they were saying, well, this Jesus is, it was some blasphemous stuff. And I pray that the people who wrote those blasphemous statements about God, I pray you repent, because if not, you're going to doom your own soul. But they said this was a fairy tale, Jesus was a fairy tale, and all this foolishness. The Bible say the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day we're going to all leave here.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna leave these mortal bodies, and the body going to go back to the dust. But that spirit is what's going to stand in judgment before God. So, yeah, you could say all kinds of little blasphemous things against the Holy Ghost, but you better be careful. Mm-hmm. And that's a rebuke that I'm saying. You know who you were that wrote that, and you blasphemed. I pray that God touch your heart, and I hope you repent, because we're in the last days. You don't know. You don't have no kind of power of taking your last breath. You don't know when God going to call you home.
That's right.
Just because you young don't mean, I see the young dying faster now than they ever have been.
That's right.
Be careful. If you don't believe, pray like the man in the Bible. He said, Lord, help my unbelief.
Yes.
But he didn't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. But now people is just so callous to the things of God. But you better be careful. because one day you will give an account of every idle word you talk.
Amen. That is so true.
We're going to close it out.
Amen.
You can close it out and pray.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we want to say we thank you for the program on tonight.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for everyone that listened. And Father God, we thank you for the caller that called in.
Yes.
Father God, we ask that you touch everyone's heart on the night. We come against all kind of foul spirits. We come against hindering spirits. We come against spirits of infirmity. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray and ask that you touch the minds of everybody that was listening tonight. Give them peace of mind, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give them wisdom, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, give them the knowledge of your word in the name of Jesus. Touch their hearts, body, and soul. Save them, Lord. Set them free by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. So next week we will be coming to you just kind of some thankfulness, things that we can reflect throughout the year, how we've been blessed. Just telling you about some of the things God has done in our life, throughout our life. Coming up to Thanksgiving, I don't want to get in that. We don't believe in it. I believe in it. I'm thankful every day.
Amen.
I don't need a special designated day to tell me to be thankful because I wake up thankful. I go to bed thankful. So, you know, this is not a condemnation. If you're thankful, Thanksgiving, that's not a condemnation by no means. But we're going to be just opening the line, just calling in, testifying what you're thankful of. God did some miraculous things for us in this year, and we will be testifying. So we hope to hear it from you next week. And the week after that will be Thanksgiving, and we won't have a live broadcast, but we will be airing a lot of programs. We got over 1,000 programs that we started this back in 2011. So we're going to be bringing some of those back because God told us to bring some of that teaching back. It was very powerful. So hope to hear from you next week. Have a joyous weekend. Continue to be blessed. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good day. Bye.